entity in Christchurch was looking at post-earthquake Christchurch and how there was a disaster expert, Professor Regan Portangaroa, who said that disasters don't impact unequal people equally. And that's the key point, is that going into COVID, everyone wasn't on an equal footing. And so existing inequities were exacerbated. And while there may have been COVID-related incentives, payments that were available, say, for those who are in full-time employment, for many Māori and Pacifica who were looking at two or three jobs, they didn't receive that same support. And so what we've seen in the Ana Ora commissioning space in Te Waipounamu is an exponential growth in calls for assistance, in calls for support from hardship. And I'm thinking, particularly in the last 3 months, we've seen some 7,000 applications that have come through. That's about 31,000 Wano members asking just for basic survival support, support to have kai on the table, firewood, you know, power. And so that's, if you look at Maslow's basic hierarchy of needs, that's just existing, let alone pivoting and moving into new employment opportunities. And so I think the government would be wise to refer to this report, to the Manaaki 20 report, to the plethora of reports which are saying that there's increased anxiety, increased mental distress, and the vulnerability of a threat to the long-term impacts on education and employment. And so that while we might be seeing them in the short term, we certainly can see the impacts being felt longer term.
And so can I just unpack Manaaki 20 just a little bit more? Manaaki 20, you talked specifically to your whānau in Te Pūtaitanga, Te Waipounamu, which includes part of the lower North Island as well too.
No, just it goes from Takaka to Rakiura, across to Warikauri and to Hokitika, so it's South Island wide. And over the period of the lockdown, the first lockdown, we instituted Manaaki 20 as a way of saying COVID-19 is not something that we can have control of, but what we can control is that generosity of spirit in terms of Manaaki to one another. And so we saw about 25,000 people coming through that period. We had snapshots of data every day, which gave us a really clear picture of the circumstances for families. And I think that that's been absolutely pivotal to the reason why we saw such a historic reversal of the trend, which was everyone was predicting that Māori would be disproportionately impacted by COVID. But instead, the trend was reversed. Māori had 8% diagnosis of COVID, and one would have thought it would have been population basis of at least 17%. And so when you look back at how did that happen? How did the unthinkable happen that Māori actually escaped the dramatic impacts of COVID in terms of health and wellbeing? It came about through iwi ingenuity, through iwi checkpoints, through mobilisation of Māori magic. You know, it was around bringing together collective approaches to ringing up the kaumātua, to finding out what the needs were, to bringing Wānau Ora navigators to be key champions across the motu as to keeping families safe, well and strong. And so that's where I think it's a golden lesson for policymakers and for politicians. How was it so successful? Why were we able to keep Māori resilient and strong and escaping the impacts of COVID at that time? And now we need to look at the economic situation and apply that same formula.
Because now we see that 2.5 to 3 times more likely pushed into poverty our Tamariki and Pacifica children. So in spite of Māori and Whānau Ora and iwi hapu rallying around our whānau, we still see an increase in our tamariki being pushed into. And that goes back to tokuna te raki's whakaaro, that not all things are equal when we when we experience hardship.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is that long tail of intergenerational trauma, overrepresentation and all the worst statistics. And so that was the existing inequities that we entered into COVID with. We managed to get through in terms of the first wave, but how we manage in terms of the economic picture moving forward, that's where we need our greatest minds to be looking. And I think that that's what the CPAG report is saying, is that the findings are not surprising, but it's very clear that there's a differential impact for low-income Māori and Pacifica children than there are for other children. And so while Aotearoa as a whole avoided this widespread health and economic crisis, what we saw have seen subsequently is essentially an entrenchment of existing inequities, and that's what we need to attend to.
Inequities across the board, because we also saw inequities around education and the supply of educational resources to our tamariki, their inability to access technology as an example, but also too, what about access to te reo? Te reo isn't something that is gauged by either CPAG or the Salvation Army, and yet would you not say that te reo is actually one of our fundamental rights, including it should, well, Maslow, he ain't Maori and he ain't Indigenous, so he ain't going to put reo on that on his scale, is he? But actually reo should be up there with kai as well too, should it not?
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's one of the key pillars of the Wānau Ora approach, is that access to te ao Māori through te reo, through kaupapa me tikanga, that is essential to well-being. You can't argue the fact that it's not just about being an isolated individual. It is about the connection to the essence of who you are through culture, through Wānau. So I think you're right, you know, that it's the impacts have been felt right across the board in poverty and homelessness and through access to culture and the absorbers that will keep people well. And that's what we know gives people hope, is when they think this is going to protect me and the generations to come if I can build up that resilience around me, whatever it takes.
Okay, so great report. Great Manaaki 20 report, CPAG, fabulous report. And you know what, the Prime Minister, she knows this, she feels this, the government, Andrew Little, knows this, feels this, Penny Henare, but they ain't going to do nothing. They're not going to do anything because they're coming down to an election. So politically, it's a hot potato that they ain't going to do nothing about. That's not a question, that's just a statement. Helen, they're not going to do anything about it.
I would think that any government moving into an election that didn't give funding to Wānau Ora in 2021 would be seriously thinking about what they can do to keep families strong when their resources have been stretched really thin. And that's what we're saying, is that while we had a strong year of response and recovery in 2020, in 2021, right across the board, our resources are being stretched really thin. And so I would presume that government, that ministers will be putting their heads together to see if the research, the reports, all the evidence is saying a collective approach, a strengths-based approach, which focuses on investing in families to fend for themselves, if that was so successful in warding off the impacts of COVID, then why would we not invest more in that approach moving forward?
Very true. They're going to tell you to wait for the Māori Health Authority.
We can do it now. We don't have to wait.
Thank you so very much for joining us. Wonderful te kōrero. Thank you very much for all your mahi and to the mahi from Te Pūtaitanga as well too. It's very much appreciated. Me tuku mahi ki a koe.
Kia ora.
Thanks very much to Helen Leahy, Te Pūtaitanga. It is coming up to, it's 1.5 minutes to